This episode is sponsored by ByHeart, and I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all five of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last two biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer.
Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. We are going to talk about something that, I don't know, I might offend a lot of people by diving into this, but I briefly mentioned something on Instagram stories and it blew up. And I learned a lot from it and I changed my viewpoint because of it. But I don't want to go back and talk about it on Instagram stories because I realized that that was not the platform, but I did want to have a discussion about it. And so we're going to do it on the podcast and we'll see how this goes. Maybe my podcast is going to get canceled after this episode. It was nice knowing y'all. But okay, so we're going to talk about that and then also share a crazy travel story because I alluded to this also on Instagram and I wanted to share more about this, but I didn't want to do 15 stories on this crazy travel story from recently. Speaking of travel, though, Jesse, you just got back from a trip with David and Silas to Virginia. We were actually all supposed to go, but then it was coming on the heels of me going to Florida that we're going to talk about, and then also having an in-person mastermind, and it was Prime Week, and so we just felt like Micah and Kirsten, when I came back from that one-night trip, just it was hard for them and they just felt out of sorts. And so we decided that I would stay home and you would just go, but bring David because then I wouldn't be home with all three little kids. And so you went to this baseball camp for Silas.
And in hindsight, I'm glad you didn't go because it was just a lot easier without having you and the other kids.
What's that supposed to mean?
I mean, you're very high maintenance. But it was a lot of fun. It was just me and Silas and David. And David's so chill. And he's a lot of fun to have. And walking around with him. And I got to watch Silas play. He played in at least, well, he was only supposed to do two games, I think. And he ended up being in three because there's a lot of bad weather, so they had to change schedules and all, and had partial game here, partial game the next day. So it was actually beneficial to be able to see him play more than I thought he would. So,
and it was at the University of Virginia, and so you got to
beautiful campus
play. He got to play on this really cool, I mean, college ball field that was much nicer than anything he's ever played on before, and he had his own. Is it called? Would it just be a locker? I mean, it's one of those fancy.
I think they dressed in the locker room, and they anytime they played a game or scrimmage, they were in pants and uniform, and he got to keep his Cavaliers jersey, and they gave him a hat, and
he had his little placard up on his. You know, it was like the full on, the ones that you see in the movies or in the documentaries where, you know, it's this, you know, it's like, here's your space that you put all your stuff. Mm-hmm. And
I was really impressed with it. It was 50 kids. So it wasn't very big at all. And they had a number of coaches from smaller colleges, some community colleges as well, helping with it. And got to hear the head coach of the Virginia Cavaliers give us talk beforehand, talking about the camp and the importance of the camp and how they treat the boys like they're student athletes there at the university and have certain expectations and laid out the expectations, but also preached accountability and how to keep each other accountable. It was really a really good experience for him.
And he got to stay in the dorms. Mm-hmm. So he had his own little dorm room and it was a good experience. He really would love to be able to at this point play baseball in college. And so this is a great opportunity for him to get a little feel of what that would be like. And he loved it. So yep. I was glad for you guys to get the experience. And also, I feel like just having David and Silas, it was fun because you guys did some adventurous things. Mm-hmm. You ate at, what was the one restaurant you kept sending pictures from?
The Michi Tavern. That is right outside of Monticello there in Charlottesville. So, and apparently they had moved it from another location, I believe, or maybe that was the original location and they had moved it back there. But anyway, from the 1790s. And it was, I was going to take some pictures and send it to you, but it was all, I noticed that everything was not square, very rough hewn inside, small, a lot as far as maybe the stature of people was a lot shorter at the time. So
interesting.
Doorways were shorter.
It looked very, the pictures you sent, it just looked very rustic.
It was very rustic, but it's beautiful. Good food too.
Yeah. You kept sending pictures of the, it was a buffet. I didn't realize that you kept sending pictures of the food. So I thought you must really be enjoying it if you're sending me all these pictures of the food. But also the interesting thing was that David learned some new skills while you were away. He learned how to climb in and out of his playpen, which he's done before, but kind of accidentally, or if there's something like sometimes he'll stack things up in his playpen to be able to crawl out. But now he learned how to just literally
put his leg over the edge and hoist himself over the side. Now he would do it, and because I put the playpen in the middle of two queen beds in our hotel room, so he would climb up and then climb up onto the bed, and then he would climb back down and do it over and over and over. It was, and he was just dying laughing the whole time. You could tell he was so proud of himself.
So he got home and immediately the first thing he did was go to climb into our jacuzzi. That's the thing he's tried so hard to be able to climb into. Yes, he did it. And he has tried so hard to be able to do it because he loves our jacuzzi. Like he has these different things where he kind of obsesses on a certain thing. Like, and for the longest time, it was our toilet paper holder in our bathroom. And he just would carry that thing around. It's this little silver thing. He just carried around with him constantly everywhere. Well, then I would say for a number of months, it's been our jacuzzi. He wants to go in there. He wants to turn it on and climb in, but he could never climb in. So then instead of climbing in, he would go around the room and the bathroom and whatever was loose that he could pick up an object, he'd go and throw it in. And the problem is that it is dangerous because he could, you know, turn the water on and in case the drain was plugged, he could actually fill it up. And so there's been a few times that the drain has been plugged and he's turned the water on and he's filled it all the way up. We've just caught it before.
I'm so thankful for water tension.
Going to pour over the side. But he hasn't been able to climb in. So there, you know, it hasn't been the level of danger that now he can climb in. And so we had a lock, but he figured out how to maneuver so that he could unlock the lock and turn the water on. So now what we have to do is we literally unscrew the
the knobs
for the faucet. Mm-hmm. And so then there's no knobs, and then he can't turn the water on, which he gets very frustrated by. But it's a safety thing. And so if you're going to use the jacuzzi, you put the knobs on. When you're done with the jacuzzi, you take the knobs off. That's just how it goes now. But also then he's just climbing on everything. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I can climb now. And so then he's climbing up. I feel like pretty soon he's going to figure out how to climb up onto the kitchen countertops. So that should be interesting. But it was just fun to see in 1 week how he learned these new things and then came back with this newfound confidence.
Well, speaking of learning new things and coming back, came back and Micah was speaking complete sentences. I mean, like, he's just, dude, what happened in the week when we were gone?
He's narrating his life now. The problem is that he has all of these hand motions and expressions, and he's very adamant about what he's telling us about, but we can only get half of the words usually because mm-hmm. he's learned so many new words recently. And so you'll know, like, he wants to go somewhere, but you cannot figure out where it is that he wants to go, and or he wants to eat something, but you cannot figure out what it is that he wants to eat. Kirsten, she quickly learned how to tell us in different words. If we couldn't understand, mm-hmm. we'd be like, give us another word. And then she'd describe it, or she'd use hand motions or whatever, but he's not quite at that level. So it's just, we're both frustrated because we're both, you know, I'm wanting to understand and he's wanting to tell and can't figure that out, but we're working on it. Okay, so should we do the conspiracy theory first? I think we should just sure. dive into that first. All right. So while Jesse was gone, I took the girls and some of their friends to see the movie Fly Me to the Moon, which they picked out, they wanted to watch. And it is very much a dramatized kind of fictitious view of what someone would think that possibly the first moon landing was like. And there are parts that are true. They talked about, I researched it, and they did market the moon basically to the public because they needed the public support. They needed Congress's support to be able to pull this off because it was a lot of money. And so they did do a lot of marketing to market the moon. It kind of sounds interesting. And there was a lot of tension between the director and the director of marketing. And so those pieces of the movie were legit.
But the director of marketing to market the space moon landing?
Basically get the U.S. excited about
there was a director of marketing, though.
Going to the moon.
Was that like a title, or was that just kind of the role that they were performing?
I mean, I can look it up for sure. I don't know that her name, it was director of marketing, but she was head of PR for this. They hired her on.
Wow.
And so that's in the movie. Let me see. I can look it up. Head of PR for moon landing. Let's see if I
can understand, because you have to do a lot of convincing that it is possible, because it's definitely a big part of the Cold War in the space race that we were able to allegedly and supposedly, and we did. I'm giving away what I think of this conspiracy theory, beat Russia to the moon.
Okay, so I'm trying to see if it... There's a book called Marketing the Moon, How PR Made the Apollo Landing a Cultural Moment. And so I from what I researched, some of the movie was actually based some on that book. Now, they did say some of the stuff in the movie, like she got all these brands to basically sponsor the moon, and that wasn't legit as far as the astronauts couldn't be sponsored. They're not like NASCAR or something like that. But it showed them like wearing the watches, and like, you know, it was saying like there are rules against that. So some of that in the film was creative license, but there was, yes, this huge marketing campaign to market the moon so that people were excited so that there would be the funding.
Well, anyway, the funding comes from Congress though.
Right, but people have to be on board.
Encouraged the congressional authorization for money. They were trying to use this kind of as a way to push the public outcry for this. Is that right?
That's what I understand. And also, in the movie, they talk about, they have congressmen come in and they're showing them the program and they're trying to convince them to get on board because they need their vote in order to make this happen. Okay. So it was both. But you have to show that the public is excited mm-hmm. and interested. So I shared two slides on Instagram about this movie. And I thought, because I know that some people have very strong opinions as to whether we actually went to space, whether we actually landed on the moon or not. So I was kind of preempting that, so I thought, by saying, I have some questions around this. Like, not everything lines up for me. And I still am like, I didn't share what some of my questions were, but I just said, I understand how, you know, I don't know where I land on this. See what I did there? But where was I? So we just got interrupted by Micah coming down here. He had a lot to talk to us, and Jesse was trying to help him. And speaking of him saying a lot of things, he goes, "No, I'm talking to Mama."
Just like, out of the blue.
Okay, we're going to need to work on that attitude.
He wasn't in a bad attitude,
though. He was just very clearly explaining to you, no, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be talking to you. I am talking to Mama. This is between me and Mom. Okay, so I was trying to preempt what I thought could be possibly controversial by saying, I have questions. I don't know that I believe everything that we've always been told is actually true. Well, let's just say that turned into a firestorm of controversy. Me trying to preempt controversy just blew it up. I should have just said, we went to fly me to the moon. And that's all. Or should I just not told the internet?
That might have been an option.
Anyway, so people just look beyond shocked that I would even entertain conspiracy theories. And here's the interesting thing to me.
What is a conspiracy theory?
I personally don't think questioning something and saying, you know what, I have questions and not everything lines up to me and I'm not sure where I stand. To me, that's not being a conspiracy theorist. That's saying, I'm not going to take everything at face value. I'm not just going to blindly believe what I'm told. And if something doesn't quite make sense to me, I'm not just going to be like, okay, well, they said that that's the truth, so that must be the truth. And I really think this honestly goes back to my childhood. I mean, this is getting deep, but like we talked about Shiny Happy People, the documentary, and me mm-hmm. being raised in the IBLP ATI program where there's this man who's the head and you're just supposed to believe whatever he says. Like if he says that's what the Bible says, then that's what you're supposed to do. And I think for me, because of walking through that and because of seeing that that's not true. And I should have questioned a lot of things because a lot of things didn't make sense. Then I now maybe am way too cynical. And I feel like that
I think you've always been cynical though.
I have always. I mean, my favorite question is why? And my poor parents, like constantly. I mean, even yes, back in the day, whenever, you know, we'd go to these conferences and I'd be like, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's true. But
it's healthy though. Asking why is healthy.
I do. I mean, I might ask it too much. You sometimes, you know, you'll be like, could you do X, Y, Z for me? And I'll be like, why? Like, and that's my knee-jerk response. And I know it can be annoying to people, but for me, I need to know the reasoning behind the request, or I am just not going to accept what a pastor or a politician or a person on the internet just tells you is fact. I'm just not going to believe that. However, I will say that putting it out there about me saying, I've got questions about the moon landing. Some of this stacks up, some of it doesn't stack up to me. I learned a lot from it. Mm-mm. And people gave me a lot of evidence for the moon landing. But one of the biggest things that I learned, y'all, and I'm kind of embarrassed to put this out there, but this is a big deal. I thought we only went to the moon one time. Like I literally all of my life, I don't know where I was when surely in some sort of history book that mm-hmm. I read, surely in something, it said something about that. But I think because I wasn't alive when all of this was going on. And so I only know about the original moon landing. And I think knowing the politics surrounding that, and the high motivation for making this happen, that it wasn't just like, oh, we want to do this because this is a goal we set. No, it's like, we want to beat the Russians. And so therefore, I have always had questions about, especially for me, the live stream for, I mean, we can, that's probably not what they called it back then, but the fact that they were able to send a video down to Earth of them landing on the moon and the angle that they got of this video, I'm just sitting there going, I don't know. That just seems a little odd. And then from what I've researched, the video is no longer in existence. It got lost or destroyed or something. And so it just seems a little sketchy. And so I've always wondered.
You're saying the original video, because the video copies of it exist. People see the video all the time.
Yeah, the original video. That's what I'm saying. And so like the original source for these pictures and videos. And also just some of the pictures, I'm like, wow, like that looks like it was staged, you know? And so that's just from my vantage point that I'm like,
Well, but look at the quality of television shows at that time period. The quality wasn't as good as it is now, obviously.
Right.
And so anything that would be done, any production that would be done back then compared to now, or in comparison to what, you know, reality looks like, is going to be quite poor, especially when you're going over thousands and thousands of miles.
Right. So what I'm saying more is that there are some pictures that were taken of that first moon landing that look too good, is what I'm saying. And so it just...
The other thing, too, is that we have a lot of technology thanks to NASA. And that NASA developed the technology before it ever got to consumer America. And, I mean, all sorts of stuff around us that were actually first developed through the space program.
So anyway,
television production might have been one of them.
One of the things that I changed my stance on as a result of all the research that I've done is that we definitely have landed on the moon. I still have questions about that initial moon landing and that initial video feed. I think it is possible from what I've researched, but I also think it just feels like there was a lot of personal motivation.
But there's way too many people involved that would have had to keep a secret and keep the lie going.
For the initial video,
it had to be a ton of people that would have had to
know. You got to watch Fly Me to the Moon, because there were only a few people in that video, in that movie, that actually knew about this. And they pretended that the feed was coming from the moon, and they actually had a soundstage all set up.
So they totally pulled the wools over everybody's eyes at NASA.
Yes, they did. There were only a few people, like I think it was three people, plus the, I think it was five people total at NASA that knew in this film. Okay. Anyway, so yes, it's a movie. It's a dramatization. Right. I'm just,
creative. It makes you think and spur on questions, you know, and it's good to think. It's good to think for yourself.
Here's the thing that I learned from it. One is that people don't like you questioning a narrative. Like, they don't like you saying, I have questions. I'm not sure.
Established narrative.
Yes. That really upset a lot of people. And it was interesting because I think in our culture, there are some crazy conspiracy theories. Like, somebody told me one of their friends believes that all birds are robots and they're spying on us.
That's not a theory. Have you?
We had a bird, okay? And then I said, all birds?
No, not all birds. No, pigeons.
No, they said all birds. Okay. Their friend believes all birds. Okay. Okay.
That's a bridge too far.
Yes. Or like things that, you know.
Have you ever seen a baby pigeon?
Now we're really going to upset people. Like I said, we're just going to offend everybody. The other thing is, you know, that there's no, I'm not saying, you know, it's interesting because I've heard from so many people that are like on the other side of the spectrum being like, everything that we're being told by the media is right. Not true. Mm-hmm. And that's also not the case. So I'm not saying we throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm also, you know, I'm just saying that I think that holding things up, questioning things, coming to our own conclusions, doing our own research from multiple sources is a healthy thing. That's why I watch and consume news from a variety of perspectives. If you only consume media from people who agree exactly with you, so that you're like the amen crowd, you're never going to be challenged.
True.
And you're never going to think outside the box. You're never going to know what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes. You're never going to really honestly be able to have good arguments for what you believe if you don't know what someone else believes, because you're just hearing it from one source. So that's, I feel pretty strongly about that. I don't know, you know, on the moon landing, I do know we went to the moon. I do believe that now. Thank you to the internet for schooling me on that. But the biggest thing that I took away from this...
But is what you read true?
I read it from a lot of different sources. But here's my big thing. Here's why I changed my stance. One, because I did not know we'd been to the moon more than once. And why would we have gone back again if the first time was faked? Okay, that's
true.
That's kind of one of my big things. But also, why do other people not know that we've gone to the moon multiple times? Because
as many times as I thought it would only,
because I asked you, how many times you know history way better than me, and you didn't know we'd gone. I believe I shouldn't give an exact number, but I think it was 6 times. One of the times they did not actually land because of some malfunction or issues or something like that.
Yeah.
And 12 American men have walked on the moon, according to my thing. And my thing is like, we couldn't have had that many missions to the moon, that many people. There would be a whole lot of people that would be involved.
Right.
And this whole thing be a hoax. Like, so, but why do people not know that we went to the moon more than once? Because I heard from so many people who are like, we didn't go to the moon, because why haven't we gone back? So many people said that. And that was what I thought too. Mm-hmm. And so, because I'd only looked into the very first moon landing because I thought it was the only moon landing. And so obviously I need to do more research. And
were you not paying attention to the cosmosphere?
I mean, apparently I wasn't. And so all of this to say, like, we can listen to a narrative and believe it from either, you know, a politician or a person on the internet who is spouting off, you know, theories that aren't true either.
And you asked that question, why do we stop going? Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the marketing question. Yeah. Apparently it's because the will and the drive behind the public outcry for going to the moon was waning.
Well,
no pun intended, waning moon.
Everything that mine was better. I said landed. I don't know where I land. But everything that I read, it said literally people were just like, yeah, been there, done that. We've gone to the moon. What's the big deal? Like it's just not cool anymore. And so because there was not the public support, there was not the congressional support. And so they weren't able to fund more trips to the moon. Although from what I'm hearing, they're going to try to go back again. Anyway,
I think they've already been to Mars too. Haven't you ever seen the movie Rocket Man? That was a documentary.
Everything in the movies is true. You know that, right?
Julie?
Okay, so all this to say, if you saw my Instagram stories, I am sorry that I said things like I said on one of the stories, why haven't we gone back again? Well, I quickly learned that wasn't true. And I'm really grateful to the people who called me out and said, you know, in a gracious way, but like said, hey, why don't you check into this? Like, I think this might give you some proof, instead of just being like, you terrible, awful, horrible person. I can't believe that you would, because I got that too. But instead we're like, no, let's engage and have a conversation. Right. And let me share with you why I've come to my conclusion. Like, I love those conversations. I love people supporting with evidence, credible evidence from different sources. And so I really, really appreciated people giving me all the evidence. So if you watch my Instagram stories, I just want to say, I'm sorry that I said something out there publicly that was not true, because I didn't know that it wasn't true. And I am grateful for the discussions, for those of you who are really kind in your responses and just gave me some different things to research and look into, because it was really helpful. But I think ultimately, I just want to challenge people that do your own research. You know, and by that, don't just research from people who are going to give you the supporting evidence for what you've already predetermined.
And engage in those conversations. Like you said, you know, I always like to paint a picture of sharpening a knife. You sharpen a knife with a rough stone. It's like having conversations and debates with people that don't agree with you. That's that friction makes you sharper. You polish a knife with a smooth stone. Somebody would agree with you. There's not that friction. It just makes it shinier. And it gives you that edge, if you will, when you're thinking, it sharpens your thinking to have these conversations. And they don't have to be debates. They're just conversations. That's why I like podcasts. That's why I listen to a lot of long form podcasts, because it goes in depth and helps you, you know, think about these things.
So it was good. I learned a lot, and I won't be talking about the moon landing on Instagram again.
What are you going to talk about next?
You know what? I think I'm going to talk about COVID. You know, I think
that it's been nice having this podcast.
I think that one of the things, I will just say this one thing, and this is going to upset some people, but I'm going to say it. Don't just write off someone else's opinion that goes against your opinion as a conspiracy theory. Like, that's the thing that we see that phrase thrown out so much. Don't write off someone just because you disagree by being like, oh, that's a conspiracy theorist. Because we have learned in the last few years that some of these things that people were saying, oh, they're just conspiracy theorists. That's a conspiracy theory. It wasn't actually, you know, I was just thinking about recently the 6 foot apart thing. You know, that was the whole thing when the start of COVID was. It was like, we need to stay 6 feet apart, stay 6 feet apart, stay 6 feet apart. And anybody who questioned that, like, where's that coming from? Was like, you're a conspiracy theorist. Like, what, you know, you just need to follow the science. Well, it's come out that there was no science behind that.
No, it was made up.
It was totally made up. And so just to remember that there are some things out there that actually are just being put out there, that there isn't a basis behind them.
And remember, too, Copernicus was at one time thought to be a conspiracy theorist. And then they figured out, yo, the Earth really does revolve around the sun instead of the sun revolving around the Earth.
Y'all, I was going to tell you my crazy travel story, but I don't know if anybody is still going to be listening. I lost a lot of followers over time saying what I said on the internet, so probably going to lose some people over this. I was just at my mastermind recently, and we were talking about ways to develop as better leaders. And one of the women talked about how she has a standing calendar event every single week that is a therapy appointment. And she said there are so many weeks when she feels like she has a lot going on, or that she just doesn't need to have a therapy appointment that week, but she continues to have that standing appointment, and she's always so glad that she does. What about for you? Is therapy something that you've ever considered, something that maybe could be a non-negotiable or should be a non-negotiable? If you just need someone to help you process through some big feelings, or help you navigate some difficult situations, or help you to just get in a healthier spot as a person. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And you just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And here's the thing that I love. You can switch therapist at any time for no additional charge. Because I found that not every therapist is a great fit for every person. And so finding one that is a good fit for you is so important. So never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/crystalpain to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/crystalpain. As we're headed into the back to school season, I know many of us parents, we want to make sure that our children are getting the help that they need when it comes to subjects in school, areas maybe that they're struggling in, help with homework, areas that they're excelling in, maybe not getting challenged enough in class. Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies, and it's designed to help kids really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. I was first introduced to IXL a few years ago when Silas's math class, his teacher changed to using this. And it was really, the goal of it was so that they could get a better read on where all of the kids in the class were doing and where they needed to be challenged more, where they were struggling. And I loved the real-time feedback. The other thing is that it really challenged Silas because he's someone who's kind of independently motivated, and he loved that he could work ahead and work at his own pace. And he wanted to see those stats and see the results. And he ended up being able to then move up in math to a different level because he was so motivated and they saw that he was really doing well based upon his stats from IXL. So I'm really grateful for IXL because it just helped him to be able to be more challenged when it came to math. This program will improve your kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It also will work for any of your kids. There are advanced algorithms that power it, so IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Also, one subscription to IXL gets you everything. So if you have kids different ages in your home, pre-K to 12th grade, IXL covers it all. Also, it can save you money because instead of hiring a tutor, you might be able to just use IXL, and a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And my podcast listeners, listeners of the Crystal Pain Show, can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. So visit IXL.com today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. So I've never really been somebody who is interested in birds until I had kids. Right now, my 4-year-old and 2-year-old are really into birds. We go on a walk every day and they're always looking for that bird and that bird. Oh, mom, look, there's a red bird and there's a blue bird. And I'm telling them about the birds and we're listening to their different songs and learning the different bird calls. And it's just been so much fun. Well, a way that we are taking it to the next level is with the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. This is such a cool gadget. It offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn more about birds right in your own backyard. It's got a high resolution camera that connects to an app so you can check out a live stream from your feeder, take photos and videos of birds that visit. And this is the best part for me as someone who still has a lot to learn about birds. You can ID the species using expert trained AI. You can even earn badges along the way, and you can learn fun facts about hundreds of different species of birds. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces and even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I thought that was pretty cool. The Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just plain fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. Let's end on a good note. I'll tell you my crazy travel story. So we've had some doozies in the past of travel. Silas and I went to Florida for me to speak at a church there to give a love-centered parenting mini conference. And it was such a good event. I was so grateful to have the opportunity to go. It was my first time to do this particular conference, mini conference in this way. And I just left feeling so encouraged. Well, we had to leave our hotel the next morning at, I think it was 5:45 in order to get to the airport. And so Silas had set up the night before an Uber, you know, how you can pre-schedule them. So he pre-scheduled
that. Leave it to him to figure that out.
He pre-scheduled the Uber so that we made sure we'd have an Uber coming in the morning. So I had planned out my morning and, you know, we would be done, get down there 5:45. Well, 5:30, like I haven't gotten dressed yet. And the Uber guy called and he's like, I'm down here waiting for you. And I was like, and I could barely understand him. And I said, we weren't supposed to leave till 5:45. And he said, well, I'm down here waiting for you. And I'm like, well, we'll be down there at 5:45. He said, okay, well, I just want to let you know I was down here waiting for him. Thank you.
It was just more of a,
I think he was just letting,
considerate call.
I think also maybe it was a, I'm making sure you're actually here and mm-hmm. you remembered and I'm like calling you to wake you up if you forgot or something. Yeah. That's what I think it was. But his English was very broken, and so it was hard to understand. And so I thought immediately how he said it, that it was like,
I thought we're that supposed they to be only down there. Wait for a very few minutes.
Yes. So anyway, I said, we'll if be down there at 5:45. So we got down there, and sweet man did not have his car set up in the typical setup you would see for an Uber. There was a lot of trash all over the car, and I was like, okay, this is interesting. Well, then we couldn't get the door to open, and he tried and he tried and he tried, and the door for the back seat would not open. And then I finally realized it was all taped up with packing tape. So clearly this was an ongoing issue that they'd had. Finally, we were able to get in. We had to go in through the other side, climb in, and we got to the airport. We were on time. Things were going well. Well, then our flight was delayed, which gratefully we had a long layover, so that was not going to be an issue, but it was delayed by a few hours. So we had some extra time at the airport that we were not expecting. So we get to our layover was in Charlotte. We get there and we still had some time before our next flight was taking off. Well, then that flight got delayed. And so we went over to where the gate was supposed to be, and they said, we're not sure when the flight is going to take off. Apparently, the plane was hit by a bird, and so we're going to have to get a whole new plane. We're not sure where we're going to get the plane from, so just sit tight, and we'll keep you posted. Well, then there was another flight that was supposed to be going out from that same gate, and then that flight had mechanical errors. So there were two groups of people waiting to go off on this from the same gate, and they didn't have answers for any of them. And the clock just kept ticking and kept ticking and kept ticking. And I was supposed to be going to this in-person mastermind with the mastermind I'm a part of as soon as I got back. I was going to go straight to that. And I really was hoping to get home by 6 p.m. in order to go to that. So finally, I think it is 4 something, they get our plane and they say we're ready to board. So I was going to be able to just barely get to the dinner on time if all things worked out. We get on the plane and I don't know what happened. Like, we'd been waiting there for 2.5 hours, I believe, past when our flight was supposed to take off for them to find a plane and get us on the plane. So you would have thought that people would have had time to, you know, use the restroom, think about possibly, you know, maybe I need to go to the bathroom before I get on the plane. But no, apparently when they got on the plane, all of a sudden it was an emergency. There were multiple people who got up and had to go to the bathroom. They were all ready to pull away from the gate. We sat there for 15 minutes while multiple people got up to go to the bathroom. And I just was really shocked. I mean, I just thought it was hilarious. But I mean, I hope that someone didn't have some sort of, you know, I know there are medical conditions, but it wasn't one person. It was a series of people. And it was just so interesting to me. I don't know if they were nervous because they'd been waiting at the gate for so long, or they didn't want to leave the gate because they were afraid if they left to go to the bathroom, they would announce that we were boarding. I'm not really sure, but I've never been on a plane where we are all boarded. The door is shut. We are ready to go away from the gate, and they keep coming on the loudspeaker. We can't take off until everyone is in their seat. Please leave the lavatory and go sit down in your seat. And they announce this over and over again. And then people would keep getting up to go to the bathroom. It was crazy. Finally, I think we ended up then taking, we were there for at least 20 or 25 minutes after we were all boarded, all ready to go, just waiting for everyone to be seated so we could take off. And we got back and I was able to just get to dinner 30 minutes late, and gratefully they had a little cocktail hour beforehand. So right as I got there, they were getting ready to go sit down to dinner. So it was perfect timing. It all worked out. But it was just such a series of events that you just have to laugh. Now, I know that with the global IT outage last week, there's been crazy things that were much, much, much worse than that. And I almost feel weird sharing my story because I know there are people who are trapped at the airport or stuck at the airport for a day and a half, 2 days, even 3 days trying to get out. And there were no rental cars, no hotels. I can't even imagine that. So this is more just kind of these funny things of, like, you know, an Uber car that was just interesting, and a bird strike, and people who needed to go to the bathroom all combined on one day, so that it took us hours longer to get home than we had expected, but we made it home and we had such a great time. And the other nice thing was I was so grateful that I wasn't traveling with a young child. It was my first time in, I believe, 2 years, I think, because the last time I traveled without a child, it was a just fly in, fly out on the same day. I went and did a radio interview with Family Life, and I brought my pump and I pumped and everything because Micah was nursing. So this was my first time to go overnight without a child since I don't even know. I am trying to remember. It's been a long time. So I was usually always traveling with a young child. So when all those things, minor inconveniences, were coming up, I was just grateful. You know what? I'm just here with Silas. This is easy. I've got stuff to do. I've got books to read, and we're just along for the ride, and we're just going to enjoy this day and laugh about it. So that's what we did. So there's my crazy travel story and some thoughts on, do we want to call them conspiracy theories? I don't know what we want to call them.
Can you say it?
There we go. And if anyone is still listening, thank you for being here. If you have decided that you're going to continue listening to the podcast, thank you so much. We're so grateful. And for those of you who are really offended with what I shared on the internet and maybe with what I shared on this podcast, just know that my heart is to encourage. And if you believe very, very, very differently than me, that is totally okay. As you can tell, Jesse and I don't have the same viewpoints on a lot of things. That's normal. We have a lot of things that we don't agree on, and it makes for good discussions. And, you know, he's my best friend and I love him so much. And sometimes I just really strongly disagree with him, and that's okay. It makes life interesting. If we all believed exactly the same, it would be so boring.
One of us would be unnecessary.
Reminds me of one of our daughters who shall not be named, who is dating,
starts with a K,
someone who they both have, they're both very...
That's a joke, people, for those that all of our daughters have a name that starts with a K.
Both she and her boyfriend are...
it's not Kirsten. She does not have a boyfriend.
Very strong opinions, we'll just say. They're very strong. And, you know, that strength has just really helped them to charge ahead and be very successful in life. But it also makes for very interesting dynamics in their relationship. And I guess the other day they were having a discussion about something that they very much decided they disagreed on. And I asked her, I said, well, how did you work through that? She said, oh, we didn't. We just both decided that we were right. So, you know, hey, I can be right and you can be right. And we can both be right. And it's all right. Thanks so much for joining us today. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time when we will hopefully be talking about a much less controversial topic. I don't know what that will be yet, but we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpain.com.